Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, What a Way to Die. Based on our first reading from Acts chapter 6 and 7, let me read to you just selected verses again. This passage is about the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Now when they had heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That is, he died. I encourage you to follow the sermon in your outline this morning. I believe it's a green insert as we consider our theme, What a Way to Die. If you could choose the way that you would die, what way would you choose? Have you ever given it much thought? If I could choose the way to die, how would I like to die? Let me share with you, I've actually given this quite a bit of thought, and I've come up with three different scenarios. Scenario number one, it's a hot summer afternoon. Beverly and I have just enjoyed a wonderful game at the ballpark. The home team has won. I have just finished my cold beverage. I lean over to Beverly, and I fall asleep in Jesus right next to my beloved at the ballpark. The next scenario was my dog, my border collie Blade, and I have just finished a glorious 15-mile run. And we run 5 days a week together. We've just finished this 15-mile run. The sun is just beginning to rise. We sit on a bench down by the dike. Blade is licking my face, and I'm scratching him behind his ears. And I slowly fall asleep in Jesus and go to heaven. The third scenario is I'm in the pulpit. Now be careful for what you wish for. I have just preached the sermon of all sermons. People are saying, don't quit, more, more. When that's ever going to happen, I don't know. And then I sit down, surrounded by my church family, who I love so dearly, I'm my beloved wife, and I simply fall over asleep in Jesus. If you could choose the way you die, what way would you choose? Stephen was stoned to death. What a way to die. Stones crashing against his body, much larger than this, until the very life was crushed out of him. The trial that he had was a farce. False witnesses were lined up ahead of time. He was convicted before he had a chance to speak, but yet he spoke with power God's truth until his enemies said, he has to be silenced. The mob was loud and vicious. They drug him out of town. Soon stones were crushing the life out of his body, and it didn't take long for him to die. What a way to die. He didn't deserve it. Stephen, my namesake, was a good man, a leader in the new Christian church. Why were his enemies so angry against him that they executed him? The reason was his crime, so to speak, was standing up for Jesus in public. He told others about Jesus. He proclaimed Jesus as the Savior of the world, crucified and risen. He declared that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, and all other ways lead away from God. That was his crime. You see, and here's the theme of our message today, standing up for Jesus brings attack. And standing up for Jesus today brings attack in our world. Let me give you some examples. Maybe you've heard of a man named Bill McCartney, who started what's called the Promise Keepers Organization, a Christian organization to help men to be the husbands and fathers and caretakers of their families that God wants them to be. But McCartney and his organization have been attacked viciously by feminist groups, by political groups who claim we must get rid of such old-fashioned, traditional, biblical values. Reggie White, a former NFL football player for the Green Bay Packers, once publicly spoke out against homosexuality. And he was crucified by the media for his Christian faith and for taking a stand against this abomination. James Dobson, you've heard of him perhaps, his organization is called Focus on the Family. It's a radio, television, and book ministry that takes a bold Christian witness and bold Christian values. The headquarters of Focus on the Family in Colorado have been vandalized time and time again. Lawsuits have been brought against them. There have been well-publicized attacks and ridicule in the media. It's been documented that more Christians, you might find this hard to believe, more Christians have been martyred, have been put to death because of their faith in Christ in the last 100 years in this world than all the 2,000 years previous. All around us, people are dying because of their Christian faith. Take time sometime to speak to some of our new members in our congregation, and you're going to meet a number of them. 36 new members being brought forward next Sunday morning, but talk specifically to some of our Chinese brothers and sisters in Christ about what it was like to be a Christian in communist-ruled China. But it's common for people today at work and at school to be attacked because of their faith. Recently, Beverly showed me some articles on the internet, and I've heard of some stories, and here are two true ones. A nurse who consistently wore a cross to work at the hospital was told, if you don't take that cross off, you're going to lose your job. A teacher was warned, if you don't quit talking to children about Jesus in school, your contract will not be renewed. Now, it's perfectly fine to have condom machines in the washrooms in high school, but if you talk about Jesus, your contract may not be renewed. Yes, standing up for Jesus still brings attack, and for some people, death. Look at Stephen in our text. Watch how he dies. He looks to heaven, and what does he see? Listen to these verses, 55 and 56. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man, that is Jesus, standing at the right hand of God. What does he see? He sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Stephen looks beyond his own soon coming death, and he sees Jesus in heaven waiting for him. And there's no coincidence that in our lessons today, listen to what John 14 says. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Stephen, in the face of his death, had this very promise from Jesus. So in the face of death, in the face of our death, And in the face of attack because of our faith, we, like Stephen, look to Jesus. But looking is not all that Stephen does. Did you hear the text that Alan read? Stephen also testifies of Jesus. I'm going to ask you today to go home and read chapters 6 and 7 of the book of Acts. There we have the account of Stephen's clear testimony of Jesus to those who were about to execute him. Stephen, as Don told us, Stephen could have saved his own life if he had just kept quiet about Jesus. But he spoke up, and he was stoned to death. We are called to speak up in our day today. Oh, how our messed up, confused, and hurting world needs the good news of God's love in Jesus. Oh, how you and I are needed to stand up for God's truth today. The courage to confess our faith only comes from Jesus, whom Stephen has told us is standing at the right hand of the Father for us. Now keep looking. And notice your sermon outline, point 4. We're getting close to the end. Keep looking how Stephen dies. He looks, he testifies, he trusts, and then he forgives. 59 and 60, the text says, "And as they were stoning him, Stephen called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees," by the way, as the stones were still hitting him, "he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he said this, he fell asleep." Does that remind you of anybody else? And as he was being unjustly killed, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Stephen is a follower of the same words of Jesus. As the stones are killing Stephen, he entrusts his soul to Jesus. And did you catch it? He publicly forgives his executioners. Attacked or dying, we are called to trust and forgive. Revenge, are you listening? Revenge is not the way of the Christian. This may be politically incorrect, but you know what? I am so tired of political correctness. Not long ago, another major religion in the world that I won't mention had a cartoon drawn of their prophet. And after that cartoon was drawn, public curses and attacks and destruction in people's lives were put into ruin because of this cartoon. Because they were called in the name of this prophet to exercise revenge. Revenge is not the way of the Christian. Time to time, even the secular media acknowledges and is amazed when Christians do the Christian thing and forgive. Do you remember not long ago on the East Coast of the United States when a number of Amish children were killed? Amish children belonging to Christian families. And the media, I remember, on the TV were simply amazed when these humble Amish people publicly forgave the murderers of their children and prayed for this individual who did it. And the media were saying, "What kind of people are these that forgive the one who kills their children?" You see, the love of Jesus in a person's life does make a difference on how they live and in how they die. Stephen, loved by Jesus to the end. What a way to die. Stephen knew and trusted that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for his sins, and Jesus rose to give him victory over sin and death. And this gave Stephen the peace and the strength even as the stones flew against him. These days aren't easy for Christians either. It's not easy being a Christian in our world. Do you hear how often in our prayers I ask you adults to pray for and support our young people and our children? It's not easy to be a Christian in this world. It's going to get harder before it gets easier. You, all of us, will take some lumps for your faith in Jesus and for standing up in a world for what is right. You will take these lumps in your home, on your job, in your school, in our society. Confessing Jesus and standing up for God's truth is not a bed of roses. But in life or in death, we are the Lord's. Hear carefully these words I'm about to tell you. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus was crucified and risen for you. Jesus is standing at the right of the hand of the Father in heaven to one day welcome you as he welcomed Stephen into his arms forever. So back to where we started. If you could choose the way that you would die, what would you choose? May we die like Stephen, eyes fixed on Jesus, mouths professing our faith in Jesus and forgiving those who attack us, and hearts resting in his loving strength. What a way to die! And what a way to live now and for all eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. We now worship our Lord with his offerings.